We begin the current Dav Masechtas Kedushin Dav Lamed Tes. We begin 8 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Dav and from our previous Mishnah. And that is, we had the halacha, the general halacha in our Mishnah, that said that any mitzvah tlui ba'aretz, that's contingent upon land, working the land, the produce of the land, that's mitzvahs that are only in Eretz Yisrael. Whereas if it's a chevetz aguf, something regarding a person's body, not dependent on land, that's bein ba'aretz and bein b'chutz la'aretz. Now, however, the Tanakhama, the Mishnah said there are two exceptions. There's orla, the first 3 years of a tree's fruits, they're forbidden, and also klayim, the forbidden mixtures. And Rabbi Elazar said, he says, afachadash, also regarding the new grain before the 16th of Nisan, when the carbon oim is generally brought. Now, however, now we had a discussion on the previous daf regarding the parameters of this halacha of orla, which we're continuing on. There was the opinion that said that actually Arla is deiraisim chutz la'aretz, which you know as a kavochemer from Chadash. There was the opinion that said that it's called a halacha, which we defined, what does halacha mean? One opinion said it's halacha l'moshe Mesinai. Another one said it's halacha medini, which means say it's rabbinic. And that our Gemara continues on this discussion and actually brings the most lenient interpretation in this halacha, which Ami Harifa de Pumbedisa, the sharp ones of Pumbedisa, which are Eif and Avimi, which were the sons of Rechava from Pumbedisa, they say, Ein Arla b'chutz la'aretz. There actually is no halach of Arla in chutz la'aretz. It's only in Eretz Yisrael. Similarly, regarding this question, the Gemara brings a Tshlacha Rabbi Yehuda l'kamed Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yehuda sent this question for the Rabbi Yechanan, what's the halach of Arla in chutz la'aretz? As we see, there's so many different opinions regarding this halacha. So Shalach Leis, so Rabbi Yechanan sent back to him, that truthfully is like we saw this on the top of this Amud from the previous Daf, that Safik Orla, and we quoted this in the Mishnah Masechtas Orla, Safik Orla in Chutz La'aretz is Mutter, and that was even in Surya. But he said, if it's definitely Orla, it's going to be Aser in Chutz La'aretz. So therefore he sent him the following halacha. He said, although really Safik Orla is Mutter, and actually we brought that different Amirom, that's what they would do, let's say Levi said to Shmuel, that sapekli, make it into a suffix, and then I'll eat it, because even though you know which one it is, it's okay for me, once it's suffix, arlo and chutzla, it's mutter. But what Rabbi Yechanan sent back to Rabbi Yehuda was sesayim sveka, that this heter of suffix arlo in chutzla arts, you should conceal it, you should teach it in private, don't publicize it in the lectures for the populace, because they're lenient as it is in this halacha. Now, as Rashi brings, similarly, we find such a phenomenon in Masechtas Nedarim, the Chof Gimel Mabez, regarding a different area of halacha. The Rav Huna Bar Chinna wanted to lecture something for the rabbin, for the people. So Rabbi told him what I mean. The Tana, the Mishnah, only alludes to it and actually conceals this halacha, and you're going to go lecture it in public? So that's this concept when he's saying, Sesim Sveka, conceal it, although this halacha that Safek Orla and Safek Arla out of Eretz Yisrael is permitted, but conceal that. Moreover, v'avad vada, that regarding definite arla, you should get rid of it, you should destroy it, since the people are being lenient halacha, so you shouldn't allow them, because although there's something called definite arla, there's a way to permit it, as we brought different Talmidei Chacham did that, where they would then make it that the other one doesn't know that it's arla, and he's allowed to eat it, even though it really is arla. So he says, don't let them do this thing about being mesapik to create the doubtful arla for the other person to eat it. And they used to do it to each other so that the other one could eat that one suffix arla. Rather, what is known to be definite arla, you want to destroy it. And v'hachriz al perasein, you should also announce regarding the produce of those who are lenient in these halachas, shatutim geniza, that they have to conceal their produce. Moreover, says Rabbi Yechanan, to fortify this opinion of his, and whoever says that there is no halach of arla chutz la'aretz, which actually we brought just that before from the Harifa the Pumbedisa, says lo yehei lo nin v'necher, he shouldn't have any grandchildren, any descendants, which as the pasuk in Micha says, to be mashlech chevel b'garel b'kal Hashem, to take a portion in the assembly of the Jewish people. In other words, he's being so strong about this opinion that there is arla chutz la'aretz, which is that definite Arla is forbidden, Safek Arla is permitted, but still, although Safek Arla is permitted, the people are, as it is, lax in this halacha, so we're taking this strong line with them regarding the majority of the population, which are not careful in this halacha. Now, that the Gemara asks, V'inu kamansa v'ruha, and seems to be Rabbi Yochanan is correct. Who does the sharp ones of Pumbedisa hold like, if actually we brought a Mishnah Masechtas Arla in the previous staff, which says that Arla is forbidden in chutz la'aretz? Well, it could be rabbinic, it could be something, but it's forbidden. They're saying that's totally permitted. So now the Gemara says, Kiha de Tanya, they hold like this, which we learned in the following Braisa. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yisi, Aymer, Mishim, Rabbi Yisi, Ben Damascus. Shama that he says, Mishim, Rabbi Yisi, Glili, Shama that he says, Mishim, Rabbi Yich, Menuri, Shama that he says, Mishim, Rabbi Yezah, HaGadol. That ain't Arla, Bechotzlarts, there is no Arla, there's no prohibition of the first 3 years of fruits of a tree out of Eretz Yisrael. Now, in this, Allah, the Gemara says, but it's not really the case. But Vatanan, we learned in our Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer Omer, this Brisa, they were all quoting in the name of Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. But in our Mishnah, we learned that Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Afa Chadosh, that not only what the Tanakhama says, which, yeah, usually Halacha Tlui B'Aretz is only in Eretz Yisrael, but the Tanakhama said two exceptions. One is Arla and Klayim. And Rabbi Eliezer added on, not only are those two in Chutz La'aretz, but even Chadosh, that's also in Chutz La'aretz. But one thing we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds like the Tanakhama, that Arla is also forbidden, and he's just adding on Chadosh. So how can we say in this Braiser, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol saying that there is no Arla in Chutz La'aretz? So the Gemara says, Tanei Chadosh. Actually, the Gersa should be in our Mishnah, not also Chadosh, don't be Geris Af, only Chadosh. And that's what Rabbi Eliezer was saying, that actually Arla and Klayim are actually like all other halachas that tluim ba'aretz, and it's only in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz La'aretz. What he was disputing the Tanakhama was he was actually saying that actually only Chadosh is in Chutz La'aretz. That is, as we brought that opinion, which is also Machalikis regarding its parameters in Chutz La'aretz, how to define the term Meishvei Seichem that it says regarding Chadosh, where he's of the opinion that it means Kamakim Shatim Yeshim, wherever you live. In contrast to the Tanakhama, who does not count Chadosh or Chutz La'aretz, because he holds Meishvei Seichem means that actually only after you, it's only in Eretz Yisrael, and only after Yerusha v'Yeshiva, after they inherit and settle the land. But the way the Gemara is interpreting it for this Harifa de Pumbedisa, that Rabbi Eliezer is that opinion that holds that actually only Chodesh is in Chutz La'aretz, but actually Arla and Kalayim is not in Chutz La'aretz, it's only in Eretz Yisrael. Continuing on, Amr Basi, Amr Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Basi says again in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Arla b'Chutz La'aretz, as we said before, Rabbi Yechanan definitely holds that Arla does apply in Chutz La'aretz. So he says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that Arla in Chutz La'aretz is halacha l'meisha m'sinai. It's a biblical halacha. It's halacha l'meisha m'sinai. Now, on this, the Gemara asks, Amli Rabbi Zeira l'Rav Asi. Rabbi Asi was the one that said this over in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. So Rabbi Zeira asked him, but v'atanya, but we learned, and this actually reference to the Mishnah of Masechtas Arla, which we quoted in the previous daf, that said, Suffolk Arla, regarding doubtful Arla, so Be'aretz Aser, in Eretz Yisrael, it's forbidden, because that's a Dairaisa, Suffolk Dairaisa, when you have a doubt regarding biblical law, you go L'chumr stringency, which is going to be forbidden. So if you're not sure, let's see if this Arla or not, it's forbidden. B'Surya Mutter, in Surya we said that it's permitted. Now the question is, if definite Arla and Chutz La'aretz is, as Rav Asi saying in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, a halacha l'meisha m'sinai, which makes a biblical law, how could we be lenient regarding the doubtful halacha in Surya, which is Chutz La'aretz, if it's halacha l'meisha m'sinai? It should be suffik d'raisa l'chumra. Now, Gemara in the quotes here, in parentheses, says, b'chutz la'aretz yard v'loiket, as recorded, in Chutz La'aretz you can go down and you can pick, because that's very far away from Eretz Yisrael, that's not going to get confused. But if you're saying, at least in the Surya, it's halacha l'meisha m'sinai, so why would you say then by the doubtful halachic status of this peiros, you'd be able to eat it, if it's a suffik d'raisa l'chumra? So the Gemara says, Ishtemim kishachada. So for a moment, Rav Asi was astounded. It was a good question. But then Amaleh, he responded, Ema, say, that kach nemer, that actually this was part of the halacha l'meisha m'sinai, that sveika mutter, that when it's doubtful, the arla is permitted, vada, aser, only when it's definite, it's going to be forbidden. You're right, that was part and parcel of the halacha l'meisha m'sinai. It said that in Surya, out of Eretz Yisrael, it's saying biblically, halacha l'meisha m'sinai, it's forbidden. But when it's definite arla, when it's suffolk arla, the halacha l'meisha m'sinai is saying, then it's going to be mutter, again, the contrast to Eretz Yisrael, where even suffolk arla is going to be forbidden. Another halacha on this topic, from, again, Amr Basi, Amr B'Yechanan, says, Loiken al ha-kloyim, someone gets lashes regarding planting from two different species together in Chutz La'aretz, Dva Torah, for biblical law, as the Gemara is going to explain shortly. Now, the Gemara asks on this, Amalei Rabbi Elazar Bar Biyasi, he says to Rav Asi, V'anan t'nan b'lun, in that same Mishnah Masechta, this Arla we quoted, meaning in contrast, it was contrasting the halachas of Arla and Chutz La'aretz and Klayim and Chutz La'aretz, both in Eretz Yisrael, Surya and Chutz La'aretz, said over there, Ha'klayim divrei seifrim, Klayim prohibited mixtures, in Eretz Yisrael it's biblical, and chutzlaitz is only rabbinic. But how could Rabbi Yochanan say that it's biblical in chutzlaitz when we see that it's only rabbinic? So the Gemara says, loy kasha, it's not a difficulty. Khan, the Mishnah Masechtas Arla that makes it sound like that klayim, prohibited mixtures that you plant in the ground, is only rabbinic, that's b'kla ha-kerem. That's regarding when you have a vineyard, you're planting a grape seed with another seed, that's rabbinic in chutz laretz. Khan, Rabbi Yechanan, who said that it's deraisa, it's biblical in chutz laretz, was talking about b'harkavas ha-ilon. When you're grafting a tree from one type to another type, that's biblical even in chutz laretz. Kiddush Shmuel, like Shmuel said, Shmuel said in the explanation of a pasuk of Mayikra, it says, "Eschukai sai tishmayru, my statutes you should safeguard." Now, from the fact that it didn't say the word shmira first and then chukim second, meaning it could have said "Ushmartem eschukai sai, you should safeguard my statutes. It doesn't. It says first "Eschukai sai, my statutes," which sounds like that they're already there. Tishmayru, that you should safeguard. So on that explains Shmuel, that this is in reference to the statutes that were already here before I asked you to keep the Torah. That I'm telling you to be Tishmayru. So what this is coming to teach is that Noach and his sons, who were generations before the Torah, that they were commanded regarding this thing that I'm commanding you. Now, what are these chukim that I'm talking about? Says the Pasuk, Behem techoloisar biakloim, your animals, you should not mate them from different species. And sot choloi sizra, and your field, you shouldn't plant. Now, what type of a planting of klayim, of forbidden mixtures, am I telling you? It's shechakakti lechakvar, like the pasuk starts off, from the chukim that I've commanded you from a long time ago. Which means to say, because we're comparing the planting of different species of seeds to the different types of animals. Now, by animals, they're concrete, separate different things, which is harkava, that's grafting. You're putting in the pre-existing one animal with another animal, putting them together. That's the same thing that we're applying regarding the seeds. And as Rashi actually points out, this is where we learn that in the Gemara Sanhedrin, Samech Amad Aleph, that the Bnei Noach are commanded on this Isser of klayim, of the animals, and of the field. So says Shmuel, Ma behem tocha b'harva. So we learn that just like an animal is by mating them together, so here where the Torah is talking about Satchalei Sizra, it's not talking about regarding seeds, it's actually talking about grafting. You're putting together a pre-existing tree with another pre-existing tree. That union, just like the animal's union, is what we're prohibiting in this pasuk. Now, from here you could also learn out from this Hekesh one more item that we're comparing the climb of the Sada to the climb of the animal to tell you, it's just like prohibition of mating different types of animals. Apply not only in Eretz Yisrael, but even in Chutz Laretz, because it's a chayv esaguf, it's not something that depends on the ground, it's regarding animals. It's something that could be anywhere. So it applies, as we said in our Mishnah, chayv esaguf as even in Chutz Laretz. So that's what this halacha of the Hekesh is telling you. So too the Issa regarding climb of the field, it applies noig also biblically, because that's what we're talking about. It's a halacha in the pasuk. Bein ba'aretz, bein mechutz laretz, whether in Eretz Yisrael or mechutz laretz. That's Shmuel's halacha from this pasuk. That's what the Gemara is answering for Rabbi Yechanan when he said it's deraisa. It was talking about the climb of grafting. That applies even to chutz laretz. When the Mishnah Masechtas Arla said it's only the Rabbanan, it was Tomad Kalai Hakerem regarding the planting of seeds, two different types of seeds, that's only rabbinic in Chutz Laretz. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this interpretation of Shmuel, Ve'el Haksiv Sadcha. But the Pasuk says, the Sadcha Le Sizra, your field, you shouldn't plant, meaning from these different types. Now, your field sounds like that which is designated to you. Now, Chutz Laretz is not acquired to the Jewish people from Shemayim. You can go ahead and purchase land, but it's only the divine land which is in Eretz Yisrael. So it sounds like that this is a halacha that we're talking about over here only in the land of Eretz Yisrael. How can you say from the Hekesh that it's applying even to Chutz Laretz? So that the Gemara answers, Hahu lemu'utei zroyim. That sadcha that's telling you it only applies in Eretz Yisrael is coming to exclude the halacha regarding seeds, which is the halacha of Klai HaKerem, Shebechutz Laretz, which is in Chutz Laretz. In other words, since the terminology of the Pasuk, because there's two messages that are coming across in this halacha of Sadcha Le Sizra. There's like as Shmuel said, where it's comparing it to the climb of Behema, which is obviously telling you regarding the halacha of Harkava, of grafting, of a pre-existing tree with another one. That is even a Chutz Laretz. Now, however, the term why it says sadcha, to tell you it's only in Eretz Yisrael, that's another concept which is mentioned, which is it says leisizra. Leisizra, it doesn't say leisirka, but it doesn't say regarding grafting, it says regarding planting. That is why it says sadcha, to say that the halacha of klai hakerim, of regarding zriya, of planting, that's only in Eretz Yisrael. Because that's referring to another halacha in these words. So there's two halachas mentioned in that word. The sadcha term, which is saying Eretz Yisrael, not chutz la'aretz, is a reference to leisizra, and that's why we use leisizra, not leisirkav, although on some level we're really coming to tell you the halacha of harkava, because that's what's compared to the animal of, to the climb of animals, which is a pre-existing thing. But that's why we use leisizra to refer to another halacha of klai hakerem, to tell you that's only in Eretz Yisrael and not in chutz la'aretz. Now the Gemara continues with a story that Rav Chanan and Rav Anan have a shakli ba'azal ba'orcha. These two Talmidei Chacham were walking on the road. Chazyu lahu gavra de kozara zrayim b'hadei adadi. So they saw a certain person, and they walked in the chutz la'aretz, that was planting two different types of seeds together. So Amalei, so he said to him, meaning one Talmidei Chacham said to the other one, Neisimar, let's come master, and Nishamte, and let's put a ban on him, let's excommunicate this person because he's violating rabbinic law, because as we just said before, regarding the planting of the seeds, it might not be biblical, but as we learned in the Mishnah of Masechtas Arla, that in Chutz La'aretz, it's at least Medivri Seifim, it's rabbinic law, and here this guy's planting two different types of seeds together. So Malay, so the other Talmid Chacham said to the other one, Loi Chavrisu, the halachas of Klaim are not clear to you, because as we'll see shortly, that although Klai HaKerem, two different a seed of, let's say, of wheat and barley with a grape seed, that is forbidden rabbinically in Chutz La'aretz. But klai hazroyim, but different types of seeds, not of a vineyard, is actually permitted in Chutz La'aretz. Vesu, moreover, again, chazu lahu gavra, they saw a certain person, to kazara chiti v'se'ari begufni, that he was planting a wheat and barley seed in the vineyard. So Amalei said to the other Talmid Chacham, Nisi Mar Neshamti, let's go master this guy. We should definitely excommunicate, because this is not just Klai Hazroim, this is Klai HaKerem, and that for sure is at least rabbinically forbidden in Chutz La'aretz. So Amalei, so he still responded to him. He says, Loi Tzarisu, the halachas of Klaim are not illuminated and lit up for you, because, yes, even though now this we're finally getting to Klai HaKerem, it's not Klai Hazroim, but like Haimel and Krebiashia, don't we hold the Krebiashia? The Amad that he says that you don't violate Kalai HaKerem until you plant a wheat seed, a barley seed, and a grape seed with one throw, with one handful. Now, as Rashi points out, the reasoning of Rabbi Yeshia, he says he doesn't know where he gets this from, that you need to have two different types of seeds, meaning wheat and barley, and a grape seed, all three of them together, which Tosfos says that it could be that he learns it out from the pasuk, which says, "Karmach leisizra kaloyim." Your vineyard, you shouldn't plant kaloyim, which sounds like that it has to be kaloyim already, two different types of seeds, meaning wheat and barley, before it even gets to the kerem, to the vineyard, to be the third one. Now, so that's one component of his halacha. Another one is that it has to be b'mapilis yad, with one throw, which as the that he Rashi says you learn that from the pasuk in Devarim Chavbeis, says leisizra karmach kaloyim. You shouldn't plant your vineyard klayim, which sounds like that the planting of the vineyard itself has to be in klayim, which means to say that you have to have in one throw, with one planting, has to be the different three different types of seeds all together in one shot. So therefore he says, even this guy didn't do anything wrong, because it's not even klai hakerem, because he wasn't doing the wheat and the barley and the grape seed all together in pelas yad with one throwing of the hand, and therefore he's not violating halacha, and therefore not going to be mishamanim. Another story relating to this first incident that we mentioned, Rav Yosef ma'arav bizrani bizar. Rav Yosef was mixing seeds and planting them together, as Rashi points out, not in the vineyard, but just regular seeds. So Amalei Abaye, Abaye asked Rav Yosef, but v'anan t'nan, we learned in our Mishnah Masechtas Arla, haklayim divrei seifrim, that although mixing different types of seeds in Chutz La'aretz is not biblical, but it's rabbinic. Now, the assumption of Abaye was that it's any types of seeds is just like in Eretz Yisrael, it's forbidden to plant any types of, whether Klai HaKerem or Klai Hazroim, is biblically forbidden. So to Chutz La'aretz, just like we find by Klai HaKerem, it's rabbinically forbidden. So to Klai Hazroim, any types of seeds that are two different types of species would be forbidden to plant in Chutz La'aretz. So Amalei, Rabbi Yosef answered to Abaye, he says, Loi kasha, it's not a difficulty. Kan, the Mishnah Mesechtes Arla that said that it's rabbinic is Bekla HaKerem, is specifically mixing different types of seeds with a grape seed. Kan, my case that I'm doing it and it's permitted in Chutz La'aretz, is Bekla Yisroim, is with planting different types of seeds without a vineyard, without a grape seed. As he explains, Klai HaKerem, by mixing different types in a vineyard, the Be'aretz Asurim Bahanot, that in Eretz Yisrael, it's not just forbidden, it's actually even forbidden Bahanot to have any pleasure whatsoever, as the term written over there regarding Klai HaKerem is Tikdash, it's like Hektish. So therefore, B'chutz La'aretz Namigazib Rabbanot, it's such a severe halacha, so in Chutz La'aretz, even out of Eretz Yisrael, they said rabbinically it's forbidden. But Klai Yisroim, but for other types of seeds that are planted together in Eretz Yisrael, the Ba'aretz Lo Yasir Ba'ano, and Eretz Yisrael, they're not forbidden to have pleasure from them, you just can't eat them. Where it doesn't say pentikdosh, as it says by Klai HaKerem, it just says Satchol Eisiz Ram Klai, you're not allowed to plant them in the forbidden mixture. So since it's not Asa Ba'ano, so B'chutz La'aretz Nama L'Gazah B'Rabban, so therefore B'chutz La'aretz, they also did not make it rabbinically forbidden, and therefore we have these three different tiers which we found, like from the Halach of Rabbi Yechanan, although he'll say Klai is Asa Midei Reis in Chutz La'aretz, that's by Harkava Se'ilon, that's by grafting. And although he said in the Mishnah Masech this Arla that it's rabbinically forbidden, that's by Klai HaKerem. And although we have different incidents which they actually planted different seeds in Chutz La'aretz that it's permitted, that's by Klai Zroim mixing different types of seeds unrelated to a vineyard. Now, Hadam Rav Yosef, but actually Rav Yosef ended up retracting. It says, Lav Milsa Hidami. This that I said is not correct. I had said to differentiate between the Mishnah Masech this Arla and what I was doing, that the Gezerid Rabbanon of Klaim and Chutz La'aretz was only by a Kerem, not by Zroim. That says, Rav Yosef, that can't be true. Because the Rav, Zara Ginsa de Bei Rav, Rav planted a garden for the yeshiva of students that they should be able to have vegetables growing there in their vegetable garden there by the yeshiva. Mishari Mishari. He planted them in different rows. Says Rav Yosef, my timer, why did Rav do this? Lav mishum eruv eruv eklaim, isn't it because it's forbidden to mix different types of seeds, even of different types of vegetables, not a vineyard, even the chutz la'aretz? So you see that the isser is even by Zroim, not only by klaim. To which Amalei Abaye said to him, no, it's no proof. Could be that klai Zroim is permitted in chutz la'aretz like you had done. Because bishlam yashminan, you would have a proof, yes, from what Rav had done, if it would be, as we continue at Tamid Beis, Arba al arba ruchas haruga. If there'd be four different types on the four different directions of that same row, the achas be'emtze and one in the middle. In other words, if Rav had planted them all in one row and in one patch, and he was careful to give space between the different types that they shouldn't nurture one from the other, which is as this halach is brought in Masechta Shabbos da pedalam abeis, then shaper. Then yes, you would be able to infer from what Rav had done that it's forbidden to plant klaim even of Zroim in Chutz La'aretz. But says Abaye Lahacha, but here, now that Rav had planted actually each type in its own patch, and it's each in its own row, that's not because of the halacha of klaim. That's either for one of two reasons. Either mishum noy, because it looked more beautiful that way. Here's the cabbage patch, here's the lettuce. There's different things in different patches. Or the inami, or a different reason why he did that was mishum tircha d'shamahi, so that he shouldn't have the attendant, the one who took care of the yeshiva students' needs, that he shouldn't have to go through the exertion when he wants to go get a certain vegetable to go find which species is where in which patch, because it's going to be mixed in. Now he knows this is that patch, that's that patch, that's that row. Each one has its own row. That's why he did it separately. But says Abaye, I could tell you that there actually is no halacha of klaim of Zroim or Chutz La'aretz, and the reason why he did it was either because of beauty, of how it looked better, or because of the tircha that we should know where each one is individually, but not because of halacha of klaim. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnahs, which talk about the halachas of mitzvahs, as we said that regarding mitzvahs seishas ma'agarama, regarding the mitzvahs that a father has to the son, and a son has to the father. We spoke about different mitzvahs that apply in Eretz Yisrael and nanachutz la'aretz. Now the Mishnah continues with an agadah relating to these halachas. Kala is a mitzvah achas. So whoever does one mitzvah, the Gemara will explain what this means. Mativen lo, so they do good to him, which sounds like in this world. Umarichen lo yamav, and they extend, they lengthy his days. And v'neichel es ha'aretz, and he inherits the land, which sounds like the life of the world to come, of Olam Haba. Now says the Mishnah, however, the opposite is true. V'chol she'eino eis a mitzvah achas, whoever doesn't do one mitzvah, then they don't do good to him. They don't lengthen his days. And he doesn't inherit the land, meaning he doesn't merit to the life of the world to come. Now, regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara asks Bermini, but this seems to be contradictory from the Mishnah Masechtas Peah. The Mishnah says, and this is a well-known Mishnah that we say in Birchas HaTorah, Elu Devar, that these are the things, and specifically these are the things, She'adam Oichel Parisein Bo'il Mazeh, that a person eats their produce, the utility of them, he gets in this world, which means to say the outgrowth of the act, you get the benefit in this world. But Vahakaren, the principle, meaning the primary reward for that mitzvah, is Kayemes Lo Yilam Abo, will be maintained for him for the world to come. Which is that actually the person's mitzvah itself is actually creating the essence of who he is, which is what the reward of the world to come is, both Gan Eden or Gehenna. When the person actualizes himself, which is through the medium of mitzvahs, which allow him to interact and interface with his reality, that is the Karen, that is what's creating him. It's filling up his picture of his personhood, who he's coloring every part of himself as he experiences his life, that is going to be his Olam Haba, but there's still Peiros b'Olam Hazeh, it still gives some benefit, there's some outgrowth that manifests in this world that allows him to get goodness in this world. Now, Elohein, what are these things specifically that have this quality? They're Kibud Avim, that if someone honors his father and his mother, Ugmel Chasadim, acts of kindness, Vachnas Arichim, and bringing in Kiyas into one home, and bringing peace between a person and his friend. The Talmud Torah connected kulam, and the learning of Torah correlates to all of those things. Now, the question of the Gemara is, it sounds like that it's these things in the Mishnah Masechtas Peah that a person eats the peyos in this world and the keren is kayemis la'ilam haba. But it sounds like any other one mitzvah doesn't have this quality. Now, the difficulty is we learned in our Mishnah that whoever does any one mitzvah, we said mativin loy v'noichles aretz, that he gets payers in this world, and the Karen is kayemis loy lelim haba. So is it only those which are mentioned in Mishnah Masechtas Peah, or like our Mishnah, regarding any one mitzvah? So I'm Rav Yehuda Hachikam. Rav Yehuda says, this is what our Mishnah is saying. Our Mishnah is not saying if you do any one mitzvah, then you get this reward, because that's like the Mishnah Masechtas Peah says, only those things. But our Mishnah is saying, kala'isa mitzvah achas, yisera al zuchu yaisas. Whoever, let's say, was 50-50, and he does one mitzvah which takes his merits over the top, meaning to be more than 50 versus the amount of sins that he has, then they do good for him, and then it's as if he fulfilled the entire Torah, because now he has moved to the category of a zakai, of someone that has more merits than demerits, that could be done with one mitzvah. That's what the reference of Mishnah is talking about. Now, this the Gemara asks, Mechlal, the inference is, the Hanach, that those of the Mishnah Masechtas Peah, are filled with Chadinami. That there, even if, let's say you didn't fulfill all the other mitzvahs, and you do only that one mitzvah, which sounds like that even if you have the majority sins, because that's what we're saying. In our Mishnah, we're saying, look, majority sins, for sure you're not going to get. But if you have majority of merits, that's what the Mishnah says, one mitzvah could take you over the top, then you'll merit it. Now, so what's so special about those in Mishnah Masechtas Peah? It sounds like that even if you're not Rubus Chuyas, even if the majority of sins, if you have just this one mitzvah, you're going to have Oilam Haba and Oilam Hazah. But how's that possible if you're having the majority being sins? So Amar Rav Shmaya, he says, you're right. Loima, what that Mishnah Masechtas Peah was saying, is She'im Ha'isah Shkula, if he was equal. When it says Elu Dvarim in that Mishnah Masechtas Peah, was talking about that he's half sins and half merits. But however, if in the half merits he has one of these mitzvahs, which is Kibud Av V'Em, Gemilas Chasadim, and all those, then machras, then that will tilt the scale to make it as if he has the majority being merits, and he won't need, like our Mishnah said, to do one more mitzvah to tilt him towards the side of the merits. Now, but if you don't have one of those mitzvahs mentioned in Masechtas Peah, then you'll have to do one more mitzvah like our Mishnah said, and that will take him to the side of the merits, and then he'll have Mativin Loi, Merichin Yomav, Evan Neichelis Arts. Now, however, our Gemara asks, however, on this new interpretation that of our Mishnah, so the Gemara asks, B'chol Eisa Mitzah Achas Yisera Azachu Yaisa. What it sounds like the Gemara had answered was, so our Mishnah was saying, whoever does one more mitzvah from being 50-50 that makes him majority merits over demerits, that then he'll get good in this world and he'll get the world to come. And that the Gemara asks, but Biriminu seems to be contradicted from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Kol shezuchu yaisa merubin mavay naisa, whoever has more merits than sins, which was the way our Gemara just described the case of our Mishnah, that's when you're going to get mativ and loy, that's when you're going to get good in this world. And that says the Braisa, no, mari and loy, then he's going to get bad in this world. Now, why would he get bad in this world if he has more merits than demerits? Is to actually cleanse him from his sins. So that when he gets to the next world, he should get a complete payment and compensation and reward for what he had done. Now, but since he has sins, so he's actually going to get cleansed from it, from getting punished in this world, not where it really counts in the next world. And v'doyma k'misha sarv kol Torah kula, and this guy will be compared as if he burnt the whole entire Torah, because he's having a terrible life. V'loy sharmi min afelo isachas, as if he didn't leave over one letter of the Sefer Torah that he burnt. That's what it's going to appear like, because he can get so punished in this world, even though really it's for his benefit, because he's going to be getting the world to come. Now, in contrast, b'chol shavoy noisav merubim b'schiyaisav, and any person that has more sins than merits, actually mativ and loy, they actually do good for him in this world. Meaning they want to pay up his rewards for his mitzvahs in this world so that he doesn't get any of the world to come. And v'doyma k'misha kaim kol Torah kula, this guy's going to appear, he's got everything working out for him. It's going to be as if seemingly like he fulfilled the whole entire Torah. V'lechisro esachas min, as if he didn't lack one letter of the Torah, he kept it all, which is not true. He's getting all this great life in this world because he did very few mitzvahs and they want to pay him up here so that he gets where it doesn't count and not get it in the world to come. But one thing is that it contradicts the interpretation that we said in our Mishnah. We said that if you have one more mitzvah, you have more zchuyas than avoinus, then mativ and loy, then you get good in this world. And the Braisa says that no, then you get bad in this world. So what's the halacha? So Amabai, he answers, he says, masnitin. Our Mishnah, that's when it talks about that if you have more zchuyas than avoinus, then you get good. And when you have less, then you'll get not good, actually means the avdin le yoim tav yoim bish, that they're going to do for him for a good day and for a bad day. In other words, someone that is going to do one mitzvah, which again we explained meant to say one more mitzvah, to make him more zchuyas than averis, then they're going to prepare for him in this world a yomtiv for the next world. Meaning, like the Braisa said, that then they're going to punish from him all the sins that he does in this world. That's preparing for him a yom tov, a holiday for the world to come. Whereas, by someone that, as the Sefer the Mishnah said, that has more sins than merits, where we said that then we're not going to do good for him, meaning then he's going to get bad in this world, then he's going to get bad, doesn't mean in this world. It means to say that they're going to prepare for him a bad day, meaning they're going to pay up all the rewards of his mitzvahs here so that it should be prepared for him a bad day. So therefore, Abai says, actually, the Mishnah is just like the Braisa. And mativ and loy doesn't mean that they do good for him here. It means they're going to prepare good for him, which means to say they can actually be mari and loy. They're actually going to do bad for him here so that he gets rid of all his baggage here so that he comes up clean over there. That's one interpretation. Rav Amar, he says, no, it's actually like we said before, that if you have more zchuyas than averis, in this world, mativ and loy means to say you'll get the reward of the peiris ba'olam hazeh, and the keren will be kayemes leilam, but you'll have a good life here. Now, however, Hamani, who is the Tana of this Braisa that disagrees with our Mishnah, and says, mari and loy, that you will get bad in this world if you have more merits than sins, it's Rabbi Yaakov, it's going like Rabbi Yaakov. The Amar that he says, Schar mitzvah b'hai alma lek, he says, there is no reward for mitzvahs in this world, and therefore, then you're going to be cleansed for your averis here because we can't pay you for your zchuyas in this world because there is no schar. You cannot. It's not, there's no change actually. You can't even compensate. It wouldn't even be able to even get a fraction of a mitzvah to get paid. It's so beyond this world. Says Rabbi Yaakov, you can't give reward for this world. And therefore, he says, actually, mari and loy, because that you did sins, so you got to get paid up for those sins. Now, although maybe there should be peiros ba'olam hazeh, but you can't have because there's no reward for mitzvahs in this world. The Tanakh Linda Braisa. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, he says, Ein lecho kol mitzvah u mitzvah shekesuv ba'Torah. You don't have any mitzvah which is written in the Torah, shematan schar betzidu, which says the payment and the reward of the mitzvah on its side, meaning as if it's going to be rewarded in this world. That's not correct. She'ein tchiyas ha'meisin tuliyaba, that it doesn't have that the revival of the person from being dead is contingent on actually the reward of that mitzvah, to tell you actually that the reward is not here in this world. It's actually only in the world to come, and that's actually part of the tchiyas ha'meisin, which as we said, that's the tala tchiyah, because it's actually what makes you. When you fulfill those mitzvahs, then you have that reward of coming up in at the end of days for your Meisim Mashiach. That is, it's not actually in this world. Although the words, as the Gemara will explain, sound like it's telling you you'll have gain in this world? Says Rabbi Yaakov, you can't have gain in this world. The mitzvah is not interchangeable with the pleasures of the lowly pleasures of this world. And again, therefore, that's why he's a Tana the Brisa that says that even if you have more mitzvahs, but since you have some averus, you'll get Marie and Lebay Labo. It's only actually when you have more sins that then you'll get good, but not because as a reward, it's actually as a punishment, so you get rid of all your mitzvahs in this world. As the Gemara explains, B'kivud av im ksev, he proves his point. It says, B'kivud av im, honoring one's parents, it says the Pasuk in Devarim, it says, L'ma'an yarichin yomecho, so that they lengthen your days, u'l'ma'an yitavloch, and that they do good for you, meaning if you're going to do kivud av im. Moreover, b'shiluach ha'ken ksev, by the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird from atop of her, the hatchlings, the babies, and the eggs, ksev, it says later on there in Devarim, it says, L'ma'an yitavloch v'arach l'yam, so that they should do good for you and lengthen your days. Now, says Rabbi Yaakov, Hare, picture such a scenario. Sha'ama le'aviv ala labira. Imagine a father tells a son, go up to the top of that tower, v'hava li gizalas, and bring me the birds, which is underneath the mother. V'ala labira. So this kid goes up to the top of the tower. V'shilach ha'se'im, he sends away the mother. V'nitla ha'se'banim, and he takes the children. So he's doing two mitzvahs. Kibud ha'se'im, listening to his father, and doing the mitzvah of shiluach ha'kein. Both mitzvahs, which say that you'll have lengthy days. Now, ubechazi rasa enough of a mess. And what happens? On his way back, he falls and he dies. Says Rabbi Yaakov, heichin tevis yamav shel zeh, where's the good days of this guy? Heichin arichis yamav shel zeh, where's the lengthy days? The Torah promised. How's it possible? Ella rather, says Rabbi Yaakov, it doesn't mean here in this world. L'man yitav loch, when it says that they'll do good for you, lo'olam shekulei tev, it means for the world that's total good. The next world, when it says that you'll have lengthy days, it means la'olam shekulei arach, it means the world that is totally long, it's eternal, it's nitzchias, it's not short of time as it is here in this world. And therefore, he says there's no schar ba'olam hazeh. Even when it says schar in the pasuk, it means for tchias ha'mesim, it doesn't mean for now. And he's the Tana, the Brisa says Rava, that says that in this world, even though you have more schuyas than avinas, not like the town of Mishnah, you will not get Paris by Mazeh, and actually you'll only get some Marian light to get rid of the Averis that you already have. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this interpretation of Rabbi Yaakov that said it must be, it doesn't mean in this world, because picture a boy that did two mitzvahs on his way back and he dies. How are you going to understand the pasuk then? Now the Gemara asks, but Dimalav Hachihava, maybe that never ever happened. And you're right, maybe it would never happen, because maybe when it says regarding lengthy days and having good in this world for doing Kibbut Ava'im and Shluch HaKein, you actually literally means you'll live a long life. Who said that this would ever happen? Maybe it wouldn't happen. So now the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Yaakov, Maisel Chaza, he actually saw such a story. He saw a father telling a boy to get up and get him the birds, doing two mitzvahs, and on his way down, he died. Obviously, he said that can't be the interpretation of the pasuk. It must mean le'olam shekulei tov, le'olam shekulei arach. Now, the Gemara asks, but v'dilma, maybe that moment, mahar ba'avei rahava, maybe that son was thinking an illicit thought, thinking in sin, and his intent wasn't for heaven, and therefore, at that time, he was worthy of being punished because of that aver that he was doing. And moreover, is that he wasn't really fulfilling the mitzvah for the sake of doing that mitzvah. He was having other thoughts in mind, and he wasn't coming to do the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein and of Kibud Ava'im. So that the Gemara says, no, machshava ra, having a bad thought and not acting on it, in a Kadosh Baruch Hu mitzvah for lemaisa, a Kadosh Baruch Hu does not combine that to be considered as if you did an action, and therefore it wouldn't be fit for a person to get punished for just having a bad thought. So since he was involved in a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein and Kibud Ava'im, he should be rewarded even if he had a bad thought. Now, the Gemara still asks, "V'dilma mahar ba'avodas kachavim havi." Maybe he was thinking about idol worship. Now, Ksiv, the pasuk in Yecheskel tells us, "L'ma tfeis es beis Yisrael b'libam," so that to capture the Jewish people in their hearts, meaning that in their hearts they were thinking thoughts of idol worship, which the pasuk is told about that they got punished for that. So you see that having hira of avodas zara is something that's worthy of punishment. So maybe this son was thinking of that, and that's why he was being punished, although he was fulfilling the mitzvah of Kibud Ava'im and of Shiluach HaKein. You're right, had he been only engaged in the mitzvah, he would have lived longer. But here it's the Avera of Avodah Zarah, of thinking in his heart that was worthy of him dying. So on that, the Gemara says, no, ihu nami hachakama. This was exactly what Rabbi Yaakov's point was, that Yisal kadaitach schar mitzvah b'hayama, if you would entertain that there is reward for mitzvah in this world, amai loy agin mitzvah, so less, then why don't the mitzvahs protect a person? It's supposed to make you live longer, so it should actually protect him, that he doesn't come to think these thoughts of avodah zarah and other things. Because if there's reward, so it should maintain your life, it should protect you from thinking in avodah zarah. For the fact that it possibly didn't, because that's the only interpretation you're saying why he would have died, even though there is chai mitzvah b'hai alma, then why do you have that thought? That mitzvah itself should have protected him. Obviously, says Rabbi Yaakov, that it must mean that it's not in this world, but actually it's in the world to come, because chai mitzvah b'hai alma leka, there is no reward for mitzvahs in this world, according to Rabbi Yaakov. Now, however, the Gemara asks, regarding this incident that purportedly Rabbi Yaakov saw, and that's what made him have a different interpretation of what does it mean, the lengthy days of Shiloh HaKein and Kibbutz HaBa'im, but the Gemara asks, how could that story have happened? But Va'am, Rabbi Lazar says, Shluchi mitzvah ein nizaykin, those that are agents for a mitzvah, they're in the middle of a mitzvah mission, they don't get harmed. So, if, let alone this idea about getting lengthy days, forget about that, but you can't be harmed when you're doing a mitzvah. And he was doing a mitzvah, Shaluch HaKein and Kibbutz HaBa'im, even if it wouldn't say lengthy days. How did he go ahead and die on his way of doing that mitzvah mission? So the Gemara says, Hasan Bali Chasan Shani. That halach of Rabbi Lazar is different because he's talking about when you're on your way to do the mitzvah. On your way to do the mitzvah, that a person doesn't get harmed. Here he was on his way back. Now that the Gemara asks, but Ba'am Rabbi Lazar said, Shaluch HaMitzvah Eini Zaykin, a mitzvah mission, a person doesn't get harmed, loy bali chasin, loy bechazirasin, not when he's going, and not on his way back. So how did this son die on his way back? So that the Gemara answers, sulam ru'uahava. It was a shaky, dilapidated ladder that he was going on, that he fell off and that he died. The kviyah hazeki, that's somebody that's very easily and vulnerable to getting harmed. And b'chol hecha, the kviyah hazeki, anywhere where it's established that a person can get harmed, Leisam chinanisi cannot rely on a miracle, even if you're going to do a mitzvah, and that you could get harmed, even when you're doing a mitzvah. Tichsev, like it says the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Vayemir Shmuel said, Eich eilich, how can I go, v'shama shol v'haragani. Shol's going to hear, and he's going to kill me. Where, although Shmuel was being commanded by Hashem to go somewhere, he was still concerned and afraid, because that's what's called kviyah hazeke, because that's something that's pretty obvious in the ways of nature, a person would get harmed, where Shaul is going to hear about this, he's going to kill Shmuel, and therefore he was afraid, even though he was Hashem himself had told him to do this thing, where that's the same thing over here, by a mitzvah, although he was engaged in a mitzvah, but it was kveya hazeke, it was a shaky ladder, and that would be, you don't rely on miracles to be saved from a shaky ladder, which could very easily collapse, and since he went on a shaky ladder, the fact that he died, it does not contradict the fact that it was a shluch mitzvah, even though you're involved in the mitzvah, you can get harmed if you're going in a potentially dangerous situation. Now, related to this concept we said before from Rabbi Yaakov, so Amr Rabbi Yosef, he says, El moli darshi achr lahai kra, had achr, Elisha ben Avuya, expounded this pasuk of Leman Yitavlach, Rabbi Yaakov Barbarate, like Rabbi Yaakov, the son of his daughter, who he interpreted, it doesn't mean that this world, it means in the world to come in Olam Haba, Leichata, then achr would not have ended up sinning and going off the Jewish path, because actually, he saw the same type of a thing. And he said, there's no reward in the world. Look at this. This boy is doing these two mitzvahs. And they both say he lives lengthy days and he dies when he's doing the mitzvah. He went out to Tar Bisra. He went and disengaged from practicing Yiddishkeit. So nothing more as v'acher mayhu. What was actually that happened with Acher that caused him to see something like this and disillusion him from Judaism to go off the derech of Yisrael Saba? So that the Gemara says, Ikedami, that those that say, Ki hai gabno chaza, he saw actually the same type of incident that Rabbi Yaakov, his grandson, had seen, which was a boy that was told by his father to do the mitzvah of Shluch HaKein, two mitzvahs that should bring lengthy days, and actually he died. The Ikedami, that those that say, Lishna de chutzpes hameturgumen chaza, he actually saw the tongue of chutzpes, the interpreter, who he was the one that when Tzaddik, Talmud Chacham, would get up to lecture, he would interpret it for the people, which he was a big Talmud Chacham. They have a garlay dover acher, that he saw his tongue that was being dragged by a swine, and Omar, he said, Pesha hepik margolius, the mouth that exuded pearls, that said words of wisdom, yilachich offer, should be kissing the dust, meaning you have a dover acher dragging his tongue. Nafakata, he went out and he sinned. He said, this can't be, something like this is totally inappropriate to say that someone learned Torah, said such jewels, and now his tongue is being dragged by a chazer in the street that caused him to sin. So it's either one of those two stories where he said, must be there's no reward and there's no point in doing this whole thing. But again, that's what the Rabbi Yosef was saying. Had he known that it doesn't mean in this world, it means, like his grandson said, in the world to come, he would never have sinned as he did. Now, Rami Rav Tuvi by Rav Kisna L'Ravi posed the following contradiction. It says, Tanan, in our Mishnah we learned, Kolo Isa Mitzvah Achas, whoever does one mitzvah, so Mativan Lai, then they do good for him in this world. Now, it sounds like Asa in. If he did a mitzvah, yes. Loy Asa Loy. But if he didn't do something, then you don't get rewarded in this world. But that seems to be contradicted from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Yasha b'loy av aveir, if a person just sat and didn't sin, noisim loy scharko isa mitzvah, gets the reward as if he did a mitzvah. So you see, by even not doing something, you can get a reward just like doing a mitzvah. So why does that Mishnah make it sound like it's only when you do an active mitzvah and not by refraining from doing an aveira? So amalei, so he said to him, hasam over there. And that Braisa where it says, by just sitting and not sinning, where it says that you get reward, in contrast to our Mishnah, they made it sound like you have to do something actively. That's actually, that not doing is something actually that's actively. How so? It's talking about where the sin came to him, where there's something forcing him to sin, and he overpowers his inclination and doesn't sin, and he gets saved from it. That there is no greater mitzvah than that. It's an active thing of controlling oneself. As the Gemara says, as we find Reb Chanina bar Papi, that Tavate Ahi Matronisa, there was a certain noblewoman that proposed to him an act of znus. She was trying to get him to engage in immoral relations. So Amar Milsa, Reb Chanina bar Papi said something. And through what he had said, it caused his skin to get full of boils and scabs. Now Avdehi Milsa, now this noblewoman, she did something, Vitase, and caused him to be healed. Now, so he saw that didn't work. Orik Tasha Bahu Bebani, so he went and he hid in a certain bathhouse. That the Chiyava Island betrayed Afila Bimamu, when two people go into the bathhouse, even during the day, because usually that regarding Mazik and demons, they're only problematic at nighttime or with one person, but usually during the day or with two people, it's not a problem. Here in this bathhouse, it was so controlled by the demons that even two people during the daytime have a misaski. The demons who would frequent that bathhouse would harm those two people even during the daytime. So he went himself hiding in that bathhouse. Now, Lamachar, Amalei Rabban, the next day the rabbi said to him, Ma Natrach, who protected you? Here you are and all these demons, they definitely should have harmed you. So Amalehu, he said to them, Shnei, as we continue on top of Mem and Alf, Noisei Kesar, there were two bearers of the Caesar, Shamruni Kalalaila, they protected me the whole night. Now, Amalei, they said to him, Shemadvar Erva Bola Yadcha V'Nitzaltamina. Maybe it's because there was an act of immorality that came to you and you were saved from it. Maybe that's why you were protected in the bathhouse. Because the Tnina, like we learned, Kalabodvar Erva Liyadoi, V'Nitzaltamina, whoever comes to an act of immorality and is saved from it, they do a miracle for him, and they maybe therefore, although it's miraculous that you survived in that bathhouse, maybe, and as actually that was the incident, but he didn't want to tell them, is maybe that there was a dvar erva that he was being instigated to sin by, which again, that's what we said is something that you get reward for, even though you didn't do anything. It was just hard, and what do you get out of it? You, as if you did a mitzvah, because actively you have to conquer your inclination. That is, as the Braisa said, it's you get noisim leischar, ka'is a mitzvah. That was even more than that. It's not just that he gets reward like a mitzvah, actually, oisim leines, a person gets miracles done for him when there's something of immorality engaging him, and he resists and he refrains, he gets a miracle like here that he was saved in the Bebana, in the bathhouse, from this noble woman and from the Mazikin who are there populating the bathhouse.